Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome to episode 107 of Star Wars and Scotch. It's Kevin, and I'm joined, as always, by my buddy Tim. How are you this morning?
I'm good, Kevin. Doing great. This was it's been a good week so far. It's been busy.
It has.
But it's been a good week. We've had some nice weather.
Oh, the weather's only going to get better for the rest of the week.
Tomorrow's going to be fantastic.
Bonfires. Oh. So, your wife just texted me. Oh, okay. That's good. It's about the thing with the guy from the gym, her gym, that thing. You're smiling. You know what I'm talking about.
Kevin, you have to understand that when you say that out of context, the people that are listening are just like, your wife just texted me. It's about the guy with the thing and Kevin, you just made it sound like my wife is being very promiscuous. I just want
It's business. She's trying to help us with business, and she made this connection at the gym, and Tim and I talked about it, and then she just texted me, asked another thing. So I was telling, you know me, if something flashes in front of my face, I got to talk about it out loud. Anyway,
oh my God.
Speaking of, we hope you're getting your delicious King's Coast coffee. Everything for the holidays dropped yesterday. Well, not the 12 days of King's Coast, but everything for the holidays dropped yesterday. If you did not get your cocoa and you hear me say this, chances are you might not get the cocoa. So get the cocoa as soon as you can, because I am in love with the cocoa. I got it for the low. I probably shouldn't say that either. He put it on the website this time, Tim. I'm very proud. But kingscoastcoffee.com, holiday roast is out. The cocoa is out. We do have some surprises coming with 12 days of King's Coast and whatnot. But new merch is out as well on the King's Coast store. So thank you for all of those that purchased yesterday. So make sure you do that as well. And
our website is so festive as well. Like, holy crap. I was getting a lot of compliments yesterday from chat about the website. They love the snow. They thought the lights were great. It was really cute. So shout out to Pete for crushing it. All right.
We had a physical line at the cafe yesterday for cocoa.
What is this? This is crazy.
Yeah. This is the first time. Well, not the first release we've had where there's a physical line, but the first time for cocoa we've had a physical line.
That's so cool. So
It's pretty cool. So thank you, kingscoastcoffee.com, for all of your coffee, holiday, and hot cocoa needs. I love the Grogu mug.
You know me, Kevin. I just love big coffee mugs. It's a silly thing, but it makes me happy. So
I love coffee mugs too. My aunt for my birthday got me a May the 40s be with you mug.
Oh, which, that's nice.
Yeah. I still don't know how I feel about it, so we'll see.
It should have been like a 40-ounce like pint, and then you could just always drink your 40s away.
The 40s is like an oldie.
Your 40s away, yeah. Gimmicky merch stuff. That'd be great.
You should.
We should start an Etsy store. You want to start an Etsy store? We'll just do like just dad joke stuff.
We could do cheesy
Star Wars dad jokes merch.
That could be the brand, Cheesy Star Wars Dads.
Oh, cheesystarwars.com.
Mm-hmm. Is it Paul's that taken?
I wonder if people would think that would be cheese that was like all
big
Star
cheese.
Wars themed. You know, so it's just like, oh, we've got the Mustafarian Munster cheese.
One of my favorite ska bands back in the day had an album called Cheeses of Nazareth.
Oh.
And the front of it was just various cheeses that came from the Middle East.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool idea. I think we're onto something here. We could do a blue milk cheese.
Like a Millennium Falcon shaped like Gouda or something like that.
Yeah, we could call it the Kessel Run.
This is a really good idea. We should not
Kevin, we could start a Star Wars cheese company. I can't even eat it. It'll make me explode, but I would love it.
If it's sheep or goat, I'm down. The cows, unfortunately, I also won't be able to enjoy it. So
okay, so here we go. So it's nothing but plant-based cheese, all Star Wars themed. Merry Christmas! You know how people hate getting the fruit, the holiday loaf?
Edible arrangements.
Not edible arrangements. I'm talking, what's the holiday bread that people hate to get? Fruitcake.
Is that
what I'm talking? Yeah. So yeah. Like that would be the same thing, or like, you know, like a Pepperidge Farms, you know, meat and cheese.
Yeah.
You got us our annual Star Wars plant-based cheese for Christmas. Thanks, Uncle Kevin. You know?
Or a box of Entenmann's donuts where you only eat two and then they just sit there and get really hard and stale. And then three weeks from then you go to bite one. You're like, oh, I remember these were just, it's in a rock. Yeah. Like that. You know, I'm digging the Star Wars cheese company. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
all right, guys. We'll get back to you on the Star Wars cheese venture.
Cheesy Star Wars. A second to last episode.
Yeah.
Lots of groundwork being laid for what's going to be in the finale. Oh, 100%. But it wasn't bad. I felt the tension.
Filler episode.
I really felt the tension. We got a little insight into Karn. He met with his old sergeant, contacted him on the comm. He's working in some smithing thing on the planet, Morlana. And I want to know what's happening there, because it seems like Karn now is going to go back to Morlana. He just stole money from his mother's jewelry box. No. OK, what do you got?
OK. All right. So I think we skipped over the biggest piece of all is that Marva's dead.
Oh, I was going to get to that. I want to talk about Karn first.
Yeah, I know. But that's a big part of it. So like you're talking about a piece of. So he gets a call from Morlana One. It's the sergeant, and sergeant is saying Andor's mom died. Everybody knows that Andor's mom being dead is huge because everyone knows that he's gonna go. Like she was really important to him, right? So everyone knows that he's gonna go back to Ferrix. He's gonna go back there, and everyone's getting ready for the return of Cassian. And so we're gonna meet up with the ISB. The ISB is gonna be there. What's his face with his crazy mom? He's going to show up because he still feels like he needs to redeem himself. And then Cassian's going to show up. And so it's going to be this trifecta.
Vel sounds like she's going too.
Oh, yeah. So that's right. Vel's going to go too, because she knows that because they need to clean up the loose end that is Cassian, right? Everyone's going to be like, hey, we need this guy. No, I need this guy. I need him more. And so it's just going to be like this power struggle on who wants to kill Cassian more.
I completely side note, it didn't really have too much to do with the episode, but it was just Luthen getting away from the Empire was one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen in Star Wars. He just owned them. Like at first I was like, oh my God, they're going to board his ship. They're going to find the secret stuff. And then I'm like, no, he has to get away because just the way this is all playing out, he seems like the one that's connecting all the dots to Rebellion. How's he going to get out of a tractor beam of all things? Mm-hmm. You don't get out of a tractor beam. He does.
Yeah, Luthen's Fondor is essentially James Bond's Aston Martin.
Yes,
exactly. It's the Aston Martin of Star Wars because it does everything. I mean, like it's got the spike traps and smoke fog out the back, right? You know, like, so instead of dropping spikes on the ground for tires to explode, he just essentially releases a bunch of just metal out the back and it destroys a tractor beam, which is so smart. It's so smart. A tractor beam, all it does is just pull things towards it, right? Well, what happens when you release a bunch of little fragments of metal and they get pulled at whatever the velocity is of the tractor beam and its strength? You just got a big old grenade. Just all this shrapnel just comes ripping through the ship. So smart. Never thought of it that way. So like seeing a tractor beam getting defeated in Star Wars never happens. Tractor beams, as soon as a tractor beam comes into play, it's like, oh shit, this is over. It's like that in Star Wars. It's like that in Star Trek. Any like sci-fi show or movie that has a tractor beam involved, it's always bad news. It's always difficult to get away from it.
And then he mopped up those TIE fighters like they were nothing.
When he did the barrel roll with the laser beams, it was so awesome.
Like it was nothing. I was like, all right, the TIE fighters will get. Nope, they won't. No, that was easy.
Just spins to win on the TIE fighters. So that was really cool. That entire scene, they needed some type of action scene for us to go, oh, that was so cool. Because it was a slow paced episode.
Does it drive home how crappy of a ship the Millennium Falcon is? Because that was my takeaway.
yeah. I mean, but that's what it is. The Millennium Falcon wasn't designed to be the Fondor. It was designed to be a transport ship, you know? And so, like, that's the craziest thing. If anything, it shows you how awesome the Millennium Falcon is because it's able to hide from Star Destroyers and stuff. And they don't have all the crazy, you know, tools and weaponry that the Fondor has, that Luthen has access to. So that was really cool. I really, really loved going back and seeing the level of stress and anxiety that's in the rebellion right now. Because like that whole like conversational piece with Luthen was stressful. I didn't know what was going to happen there.
Yeah. So this, what's the guy's Arlo? I can't remember his name. The other rebel that we haven't met that's in the
Krieger.
Thick of this all. Krieger. So Krieger is basically the lamb to the slaughter at this point. Because
he's a scapegoat.
This is what we meant when we said we want to see the dirty side of the rebellion and the things they had to do to make things happen. So he's willing, so essentially, if just to reiterate, he's willing to sacrifice Krieger's 30 men to make sure that his informant in the ISB is not found out. Because if they can't, if Krieger doesn't show up or there's some sort of counteroffensive or something along those lines, they will know that they have a mole and the ISB will shut down and flush out the mole. And obviously that's not what this guy wanted. That was the last episode we saw with him arguing. In this one, it comes down to how dirty, like that's basically what Luthen's saying to Saw. How dirty are you willing to get at this point? Because you can go tell him, you know, but...
Well, I like that whole thing of him having to essentially put a gun to his head to get him to listen.
I thought it was funny that he tried to basically say like two tubes was
tubes? His informant. Tubes is like, no, it's not me. There's no way it could be me. But he knows he's so paranoid that he was probably going to kill him. Because right. he would believe anybody. He's just like, who is it? Who is it? Tell me. You know, and he's just like, he was looking for a reason to go off.
Yeah. So I am this last episode, obviously seemed like Saw agreed that he wasn't going to tell Krieger, which means Krieger's team's going to get, I don't think we're going to see it. I think we'll just hear about it.
Yeah, I agree. I think they've just been using that to really set the tone of like what's going on and using that. But I don't think Krieger's going to be an actual thing. I don't know because they were during the interrogation of Dax. Bix. So many names. When Bix was back in the interrogation room, she also didn't have much of a presence in this episode other than seeing how fucked up she is.
Oh my God. Destroyed.
She looks terrible. Like she's on the cusp of death.
The thing too, is they showed Krieger's image in that.
They did. He did not scene. Look familiar to me at all. I couldn't put a face to that.
I have a feeling he'll be like comics, books.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's why they showed him to us.
Yeah,
so
some piece of the rebellion. But I'm curious of though is like, are they going to go through with this of sacrificing Krieger, or is there going to be some type of response? So you think he's just going to, it's going to be one of those things where you just hear about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll hear that, you know, they got annihilated or something like that. I think Bix still had enough sense in her to be like, yeah, that's the man I introduced Cassie Nandor to.
You think she's gonna, oh, maybe that's why she was crying. Because she knew that she was just going to say, yeah, and she was going to die. I wonder if she just accepted the fact that she was going to die regardless.
I mean, when you get to that point and you're a prisoner of war, essentially, I think that's where your head
goes. That's the thing is, like, he's like, tell me the truth or I'm going to call the doctor. And she knows that if the doctor comes and she's dead. But if she gives him all the information at the end of the day, they're not going to let her go. So she's dead anyways.
Right. So she may as well
help Cassian out a little bit more.
Yep. And Luthen, because she knows what Luthen's doing. Right. So actually, she doesn't know. She thinks he's just a traitor.
She knows, right? She knows that Luthen is a seller of goods, and that's it.
The scene with Vel and Luthen's assistant was tense.
Very tense. She is. I don't know how to feel about the assistant. She reminds me of an android to a certain degree. She's got this. She holds true to protocol. She doesn't break it. She has rules.
She looks like the girl from the original Blade Runner. That's why you're getting that vibe. The android.
Oh, you're right. She acts like it too, though, doesn't she? Doesn't she have like this android appearance to her? She's just very like, she's very binary in the sense of she's just like, this is how it is, and there's no breaking of it. You know, there's no. It just, I don't feel the emotion there. It's just very on and off for her.
You want to hear the worst Star Wars theory in the world about her? The worst. Who people are speculating that she could be?
Is she going to be the girl from Dathomir in Fallen Order?
No, she's nobody. Trust me, she's just Luthen's assistant.
That's what.
But there are people on the internet saying that she's Princess Leia in disguise.
Oh, shut the fuck up! Who believes that?
I have no idea. No clue.
She's a junior senator right now.
Why? No, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, she's still working for Alderaan.
Yeah, she's a junior senator at this point, right? Because she's like, at that point, how many years off from episode four are we?
Five-ish.
Yeah. So she's 11 or 12?
Yeah.
Right? Because she's supposed to be 16.
But her father's training her to become a senator. Essentially,
yeah, right. She's leading. She's learning under her dad. She has to have She has to have this outward appearance. Is she a part of the rebellion? Yeah, of course, most definitely. We just saw what she went through with Obi-Wan. Yeah,
so's her dad.
She's a rebel, and her dad's a rebel. But come on, guys, really? It doesn't even look like her.
Yeah. I'm with you. I thought
Star Wars
it was the worst
fandom
theory.
Is wild, dude.
You think we could see Krieger in Fallen Order?
Krieger in Fallen Order.
I feel like they showed him for a reason. That's the only reason I'm asking.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're right. We got a full look at him. He's going to show up somewhere. There's going to be tie-ins. I mean, when is Fallen Order supposed to drop? I've been so disconnected from...
Summer next year?
No, it's a Survivor. Jedi Survivor. It did get pushed to next year. Let's see. Jedi Survivor release date is...
Spring?
Do we not have one yet? We don't have one yet, do we?
Might have just said 2023.
I mean, like, this is March 2023. So that's where we're at right now. So, there's a lot of time between now and March where we could get some interesting tie-ins. You know, I mean, like, we don't know how long this story has been in development. We don't know how long Respawn has been working on the storyline for Survivor. So, I mean, like, they could have been working on Survivor and Andor and Obi-Wan in tandem. And they could be pulling off of each other to make sure that these stories, you know, they kind of coincide with each other or at least pull from each other.
This is why Lucas has control over storytelling at the end of the day, because they want everything to link back to it. And that's the beauty of it. Yeah.
That was the problem with the expanding universe, is that everybody had the freedom to do whatever they wanted. So we had these disjointed stories that when you lay them out, it's not a linear story, it is a fragmented jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah.
And so it's very, very difficult to try to figure out from start to finish, how do you explain the story? And now we are getting, again, we're getting this beautiful timeline where you can start from one point and go all the way to the end. And there you go. You get a full story and you can play video games, comics, read books, watch TV shows and movies, and you have a beautiful experience. And I can't wait to try that. I can't wait to try to do it. I'm sure at some point I'll be old and and bored. I mean, like, I want to experience Star Wars from the beginning. Computer boot up Star Wars Protocol 1. Because at this point, I'm going to be like 80 years old and we're going to be very far into the future, Kevin. And a holodeck and everything. And that's how we do it.
Yeah, we'll have had our full Star Wars LARP experience.
Exactly.
By then, yeah.
In a place that isn't Disney World.
Not at the rate they're going with that.
Holy shit,
hear about
what a nightmare, Kevin.
Galactic Star Cruiser.
Bad.
Big
25% occupancy is where they're at right now. Just kind of throwing that out there for you.
You almost ready for that discount when we go in the Wednesday in like May for no reason?
Dude, I can't wait for BOGO on Black Friday. Buy one, get one free room.
Okay. Segue from Andor. We'll go back to it in a second. I was overjoyed when I saw the quarterly report for Disney and I saw
it is bad.
That they had that after this asshole's boasting and being like, oh, the profit, look what I did. And I was like, motherfucker, you were living off vacations from people that had to delay them for 5 months during COVID. And now it finally caught up to you. And then Disney Plus. Yeah, they're doing everything with Disney Plus. You know what they're not doing? Getting new users to sign up for Disney Plus. They got us. You have my subscription. I'm not going anywhere. My kids watch it. I watch it. My wife watches it with me. So it all caught up and now he's like hiring freeze, this and the other thing and all of his bullshit. And they're raising prices again on park tickets again. Yeah, second time in a year.
Did you see what they're doing with the tickets on the 1 day tickets? Mm-mm. They're segmenting prices now. And so, there will be tiers as far as parks go. So for a 1 day ticket, the cheapest ticket will be Animal Kingdom. And then the second cheapest, the one up from that will be Epcot. And then the next one will be Hollywood Studios. And then the most expensive one for a 1 day ticket will be Magic Kingdom. And so like they will be broken up into price points. And then what was the other thing they were doing? Oh, they're killing off the annual pass for Florida as well. So that's gone. You can't get that anymore. What was some other crazy shit that Amy was telling about? Amy's been looking at it because we were trying to like find like our annual passes are getting ready to finish and we were trying to find like a holiday, like one last hurrah for Disney for a bit. And it's just, it's ridiculous. You can't, it's just too much right now. So it's not worth it.
Dude.
It's kind of frustrating because like for the longest time, and you can attest this, Disney was like the weekend thing. It was kind of like a fun way to like reset the weekend. It was like, man, we had a rough week. You want to go to Disney? And it was like, yeah, let's go to Disney. And like, we just do Disney for 2 days and then go home. And like now the thought of doing that is like so foreign. It's wild.
I said, there's you, me, Ben, we spent thousands of dollars. Mindy, we spent thousands of dollars every year going to Disney, like weekend getaways and things like that. And we did that 4 or 5 times a year just to get away because it was right here. We don't do that anymore. I haven't been to Disney since I think May was the last time I was there. And I might go in April for my daughter's birthday because she's obsessed with princesses, but I'm not going back. Yeah. I just Universal, dude, it was, I called them because my in-laws wanted to come to Universal with us. So I called them to try and get a room and they're like, well, it's $600 a night right now. I was like, whoa, that's like more than I paid. And I have a kid suite. Mm-hmm. And said, oh, you have a kid suite. Do you want to just tack them on? I said, well, there's no room in the room. They're like, we can give you a kid suite with an extra bedroom. I'm like, at what cost? They go, at no extra cost. I was like,
what?
What? I have a three-bedroom suite. I have a three-bedroom suite for what I paid for this regular-ass kid suite.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, there's also a deal on park passes now. So we're going to return your park passes and rebuy them. So you get BOGO on those. And then we'll get the park passes for your in-laws. It came out to $116 more than I had paid with an extra bedroom and 2 park passes for 2 days.
Holy God. What?
Don't tell me Universal's not getting aggressive in the market to get people away from them. So that's the difference. And Disney is they're like, everyone's like, it's time to renege on your Marvel deal and build us the park that we want here. Because that's probably the only thing that's going to get us to like go back semi-consistently. I want to see the data on Floridians and Californians who let their passes lapse, stopped going, and what that looks like, because I have a feeling in about a year or two that data is going to be damning for them.
I mean, and Disney Plus is just another thing. I mean, like how much money did they lose? They're billions.
$1.5 billion in a quarter.
In a quarter, in a three-month span. There's a three-month span, they lost $1.5 billion.
And analysts are saying that the because they said they had their most profitable quarter prior, analysts are saying that they moved things around to put the facade of profitability up above what it was, not in an illegal way, in a very legal way,
right,
to take the hit the following quarter to keep Bob from getting ousted during the board meeting.
You know, it's also crazy. You know who isn't taking a pay cut?
Who?
That guy.
Oh, no, no, he won't.
Chapek's not going to take it. He's not going to take a pay cut.
He got a bonus.
Yeah. And he got a 3-year addition to his sign on.
I think he's going to quit.
So they signed him back on to come back. And then they added an extra 3 years to his contract. So it's like he's in there for 4 years and he has, yes, he has increased profits across the board, but at the same time, he's losing money hand over fist. It's just like, it's crazy.
He's losing money in customers. That's the other issue. Like the money is translating to people not being Disney people anymore. That is what the board is worried about. Is your, when you have your hedge fund investors saying like you're ruining the magic, these are the scummiest people on the planet.
These are the people who don't give a shit about the magic and they're complaining about the magic.
And they're saying you're ruining the magic, and that's why
it's gone. It is. So, like it was sucked out of that place come like the end of 2019 is when that like it just went off with Mary Poppin into the wind.
And I was saying like I told Danielle, I was like, they have Marvel, they have Star Wars, and they're doing right by them, but they could do so much more.
Yes.
Especially in Florida. Mm-hmm. And I said, now the ship sailed on them being able to get DC because Warner Brothers Discovery is about to like juice into, like they did not hire James Gunn for no reason. They're about mm-hmm. to like put that into fifth gear and go balls. James Gunn tweeted Monday that they were having their 10-year plan meeting this week.
What's going to stop them?
Exactly what Marvel did.
What's going to stop them from turning the superhero island in Adventure Studio, Islands of Adventure, into a DC themed world?
So supposedly in 2028. Well, here's the problem is right now Six Flags has the Warner Brothers contract.
Oh, I see.
For theme parks.
But they also have other Warner Brothers IPs at Universal Studios. They have.
Right.
They have Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
And they're going to continue expanding Harry Potter into the new park that they're building. That's not even close to the original property. It's on the like another part of Orlando.
Inside baseball. This is partially NDA, but I can say the part that's not. I had a call with Universal REGCX. Yes, you can get excited if you're listening to this. I was talking to their team and we were talking about doing, you know, joint marketing and some things like that. They were telling me that each individual IP is its own deal. It has nothing to do with the parent company.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't either. So Minions is its own deal. Harry Potter is its own deal. Jurassic Park is its own deal.
Smart.
So whenever they have to go and get, like, if they want to do, let's say theoretically, Tim was going to go to Universal. Let's say theoretically, GCX was going to do something at Universal and we wanted mm-hmm. Tim to tweet about it from Hogwarts, right?
Yeah.
We would actually have to get permission from Wizarding World to have Tim tweet. It has nothing to do with the Universal deal.
That's so dope,
and
though.
In an official capacity, obviously, Tim, you can take a picture of Hogwarts and no one's going to say
shit. Thank you, Kevin. That'd be really awkward if they were like, no tweets from you, Tim. Everyone else, fine.
So essentially, they own each individual IP. So when the deal is up, which it's supposedly, I've heard everything from it's a gentleman's agreement at this point to 2028. Mm-hmm. They're getting rid of it like after Islands of Epic Universe opens.
Yeah.
So I could totally see a DC deal like just whoop, just turn the Spider-Man into Batman. Dr. Doom's free fall becomes Superman's free.
It's an awkward thing to have Marvel at Universal Studios. And then you've got Disney just like hawking all the other stuff over there. So it's just
with
like,
no Marvel.
Yeah,
except Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right. But then you go to Disney Springs and like they have all these Marvel stores and they're selling all the Spider-Man and Hulk stuff. Like, but that's also at Universal Studios. It's kind of strange. Yep. So yeah, it'll be really interesting.
Yeah. And Disney can only use MCU property. Universal owns the comic book.
Yeah. The comic
rights
and everything. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's a mess. It's a mess. Anyway, back to Andor. Cause there's a few other things I want to talk about. So Cassian is out. He's back on crappy beach vacation planet.
Yeah, he went to space Florida again, which I really thought was interesting. And I thought he was banging that alien that was in the bed, but I think he snuck into that room because then I realized that alien was also cuddling with somebody else. So then I was like, man, is that a wild threesome, or did he sneak into that room? So I'm gonna go in my head, Cassian banged both those people and then got the money box and left. But I don't think that's really what happened. I think he snuck into that room, got it, and left.
I mean, they left it up to the imagination. So if that's how you want to conceive that,
like, that's how I saw it. I was just like, man, Cassian got it like one last little with some aliens, and then peaced out.
You perceive the shit out of that, but you go for it.
I don't know. He kind of has that same demeanor as like Han or Lando. He's like, hey, you got some tentacles. Like, let me see what those things can do. You know,
I mean, Lando's banging droids. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Got the shiny adapter for you.
So he's obviously going to come back now that he found out his mother, Marva's gone. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, B2 is breaking my damn heart.
Oh,
dude.
My God. I've never seen a robot have a panic attack before, but that was hard. It was really rough.
He didn't want to be alone. He didn't want to be alone.
He just, I want my Marva back. And it's just like, okay, little guy, I'll hold you.
Sorry,
they do that with droids. They do that with robots all the time. I feel for B, hell, even BD1, you know, you feel for him. I mean, Dio, you feel for him. I mean, just like they do.
Dio really, was abused.
Dio was beat to shit.
He was abused.
I really like B. I hope we get to see him throughout the rest of the season. I would hate for us to lose him next week.
I'd love to see Cassian take him with him when he leaves.
Yeah, I mean, he needs a little droid companion. All of our favorite heroes have a droid companion, and B seems to be that. He just need to get from point A to point B. If he gets a battery upgrade, then like that's his problem, because he can't, like, that's the whole reason why he didn't want to leave home.
He's charging.
I'm charging because his he can't hold a charge at all. Those capacitors don't work for him anymore. So he has to live in his charging bay. So I would hope like Cassian gets to upgrade him so that he can travel around with him next season.
It's like, that's like my old laptop right there.
Yeah, right. You just like, oh, I forgot the power adapter. So
25 minutes off of AC adapter. Poor guy.
The boot up takes 20 minutes.
Yeah, I know. Poor little guy. But yeah, I hope he takes him with him. The dynamic of how many people are watching that house was incredible.
Oh, my God.
Because we had What's-Her-Face, who now works at this coffee shop. Mm-hmm. And then her patron is working with the Empire in the coffee shop.
He's the ISB agent that's hanging out.
Does she know?
No, she has no fucking clue yet. I don't think
he doesn't know.
I don't think so. That's the whole thing where I think next week it's going to be like a, hey, wait a second. You know, it's going to be that Spider-Man meme where they're just like or he's like, you know, it's going to be that. It's going to be a Leonardo DiCaprio on the sofa. It's going to be a lot of people looking for Cassian at the same time, and they're all going to, I think this is going to be like this huge shootout between them all. And I think how do you call people from Ferrix? The Ferrixians? The people from Ferrix, I think they're going to stand behind Cassian because they protect their own. Even though Cassian was the troublemaker and everything else, Marva was loved by the community. You can tell. They even said it. You know, she was held high within the group, so she's getting, you know, the highest honors for her burial. I love the whole thing where they make her a part of, or they make their dead a part of the wall. I thought that was really, or a part of a wall. They turn their ashes into brick, and they mix it with mortar and
it's a blue collar society, so it makes sense.
But like, it's just like, I don't know. That was kind of a beautiful send off in my mind of just like you are always a part of this community now. You are a pivotal role to keeping the walls alive. You know, keeping these buildings up, and like that's so cool that you're like your remains will live on in a part of the community. So I thought that was really cool. That was neat.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Yeah. Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELDWEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Say big on JELDWEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I'm trying to find the lists of cast because I wanted to talk about.
I keep on forgetting that Saw Gerrera is a part of this. So every time he pops up, I'm like, damn, it's just, oh, it's so good.
And if it was me. You do then?
He's so much fun. I really hope that we get to keep him going into next season as well. We didn't get to see Andy Serkis. We have no idea if Kino's alive or dead. Shut up, Kevin. I think he's still there on the prison. I think he's in the prison complex and he's back on program. And maybe we'll see him next season. You know, maybe.
If you want to see him again, you're going to go on to go watch the sequel trilogy.
Oh,
he's dead, Tim.
No, are you sure?
Yeah, because either he died from drowning or he stayed and got killed when all the Imperial officers came out.
What if he showed up next episode?
I mean, what if, dude?
Really like him, Kevin. Like, that was such a good character. And I don't like it when they use like fun, famous actors that I adore and then they kill them off in three episodes like that. Ah, fuck.
Some people just want to be in Star Wars. That's the thing.
That's true.
And he's probably one of them. You know, there's the funny story of Daniel Craig when they were filming The Force Awakens, and he was filming Bond across the street, and he was like, can I be in the movie? And he's not even credited. They didn't pay him. But that he is the stormtrooper in the scene where Rey is mind-controlling the stormtroopers.
You will release my restraints and let me go.
Yeah, because some people just love it and they want to be a part of it and they want to be in it and they don't care about the money. And I think that was one of those instances where Andy was like, I'll come back. I'm down.
The one kid from Game of Thrones is in that too. He's in the control room in the launch bay when Finn and Poe are running to get into the TIE fighter to fly away. The kid who plays Brahm's guide.
A Podrick.
He's in there in the control room. He's asking about the TIE fighter. He's like, TIE fighter, blah, 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 what's your clearance number? That's him.
The Podrick scene where he loses his virginity is one of the best scenes of Game of Thrones.
No, not Podrick's. The kid about the one-eyed raven who teaches the Stark kid.
Oh, Jojen.
Yes, that sounds
Jojen
right.
Reed. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's in there. Anyways.
The one with the sister and he gets killed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. That's Jojen Reed. I thought it was Podrick we were talking about.
No, as soon as you said Podrick and sex, I was like, wait a second.
Yeah, because they're like, they didn't want your money.
Yeah, because he's he's got the tools.
Tell us everything. Deidre wasn't really in this episode aside from the one scene. But I thought it was very important because she was like, let them have the funeral. We want them all boxed up. Every episode she appears smarter and smarter and smarter and smarter and smarter to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see, obviously she'll be back for season two, but she quickly went from like, who is this annoying Imperial ISB agent to what's she going to do next?
I love her. She's a great,
she's playing 4D chess. Mm-hmm.
What did you think of, Mon's, scene where she was in her house in the living room, talking to her sister, to her cousin?
I'm going to float another theory by you. And this one is either going to, you're going to be like, maybe, or it's going to piss you off again. There is a theory that her husband doesn't know what she's doing and he's doing the same thing. And he's being a dick to try and protect her and distance her from his dealings.
Ooh, I like that.
So he's not loyal. He's also gaining intel, also working with other people, probably with Luthen and separately, and they have no idea. And he's just trying to protect her. So he's being an asshole to her. So she's not all in his business.
As much as I don't think that's the case, I love that because I think he's just a dick. I think he's just an asshole and he doesn't love her because we all, unless they've been trying to lead us off that trail with the whole like, oh, it's an arranged marriage and they don't really love each other and all this stuff. What if he does really love her?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's so good. Also the daughter and this, the chant that they were doing or practicing that mantra. Is that a Chandrilan thing where they are,
so
it seems are they readying themselves for marriage? Is that what all that was?
So it seems like Chandrila has these ancient customs that are very like, traditional arranged marriage, things like that.
Yeah.
And it seems like the Mon's generation kind of grew out of it to an extent, but this new generation is apparently attaching themselves back to it because you know how that works in societal
situations.
Yeah. So it seems like, yes, that she's in favor of an arranged marriage. And, you know, I forget what the group was called. And she's the one that sought out the teacher or whatever it was for their little group. It had nothing to do with Mon, it had nothing to do with her father. So Vel seemed a little bit worried too.
Well, because I think that arranged marriage with the gangster is going to happen. I think his son and her.
She has no choice.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, she has no choice.
So she definitely made it seem like this is my only way out to fix it or the Empire is going to know. And so again, this episode was all about sacrifice. This episode was about giving up things for the greater good. That's when he was like, for the greater good. And he was like, if that helps you sleep at night, sure. And he was like, then there's just war. And I'm like, yeah, it's just war. It's just what happens. It's just like, unfortunately, casualties of war is a real thing and sacrifices are made. And so Mon has to make her own sacrifice and her daughter is the sacrifice. The one thing that she truly loves and holds dearest to her heart, she's going to have to give up because she knows the rebellion's bigger.
Yep.
She understands that for her daughter to be happy, safe, and protected, she's going to have to give her up to a bad, she's going to have to do something bad to make sure that nothing bad happens, which is weird. It's really weird to do a double negative, but for this, it works. And so she's going to have to make that sacrifice and it'll be a very, very emotional thing for Mon. Because it might be the last time she sees her daughter.
We also had when Cassian and his buddy that broke out, they had their separation and that was another pivotal thing. I thought it was really poignant when he said, we need to split up because it'll double our odds because people need to find out what happened there. Again, he might be right. They might've been the only two that was able to get off the planet and now can tell the story. So I thought it was smart the way he said that, as easy as it would have been to take Cassian's money and, you know, hide. And, but no, they know how terrible it was. And I think it also changed Cassian. That whole experience. Now he's probably bought in more to the rebellion instead of trying to lay low, because apparently even laying low got him there.
Yep.
So he's going to be a different person in this next episode and come season two. So we had that, and then was there anything else in this episode really? Oh, the Narkinians.
The Narkinians, those are cool.
Totally reminded me of something like out of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
like the way they were talking,
or even they kind of had like an orc kind of like the one guy who had like the sword hand, very orcish in that sense. But I like the way they talked to each other. It was cool. It was neat. It was just a fun little thing. I really like how they leaned on the props for this show again. Like they did a lot of practical effects, practical sets. They didn't use the volume. I think there was a couple scenes where they used the volume, like. When they were climbing on the dirt.
Tony Gilroy said no volume.
Wow, that looked very volume to me. If there was no volume at all, I think that was, it was really, really well done. Like all of these scenes have just been fantastic. The alien life forms, again, like when Filoni made the decision to lean more into the old way of doing things, I really feel like that has just elevated Star Wars to just a whole nother level again. Well, I don't want to say it's elevated to a whole nother level, but it's brought us back to what we expect, and we're not leaning heavy on the CGI. We're doing more practical stuff. And that's one of the things that I think helped sell this show for me is that it felt a lot more real. It felt a lot more just nitty gritty and dark. A lot like how Rogue One felt. Rogue One felt the same way, where I was like, man, I could see myself there. Like, that felt like a real place to me. Like, I could see myself walking those streets. And so that was really, really cool. It wasn't a big episode. It was a filler episode. You know, I've been saying, like, man, there really hasn't been like a down filler episode, or like, when you know it's a filler, it's still good. And this was still a slower one, but it the underlying message for all of it was sacrifice. Like, that's all they really harped on the entire time, was like, hey, we all have to make these sacrifices. Bix is going to make a sacrifice. She's going to give up her life. She's going to die for the rebellion. She's going to die for Cassian. Marva died for Cassian.
A lot of people are going to die next episode.
A lot of people have died already, and a lot of people are going to continue to die next episode. And it's going to just continue to beat home at the end of this theme that we're getting to, that we've continued kind of placing on, is sacrifices, them giving up all this stuff. So what is everyone next week going to be willing to sacrifice to get the thing that they want? What is the ISB going to sacrifice to get Cassian?
You know, Luthen will not survive season two.
Fuck, really? You think he's going to die?
Oh, yeah. No, Luthen will be dead by the time all this is done.
I really
Mon Mothma is going to get caught at some point in season two and have to, you know, leave and go do what we know she's going to do in the future. So that'll be established as well. And then I don't think Vel and them will survive either. I think everyone will be dead by the end of all this.
We know we're going to get a cliffhanger.
Tony said a big cliffhanger.
So how do you see that cliffhanger going?
I try to rack my brain to think of what it could be at this point, and I really don't know, because getting Cassian captured again doesn't make sense to me.
No, he has to escape too many times, right?
Right. So he has to escape, but how is he going to escape? Bix is probably going to end up dead in this episode. Like you said, it's how many people are going to die? What's the damage going to be? And how is Cassian going to get out? Is he going to take B2? I don't know what the big cliffhanger is. I think it's something out of our purview, Tim. Honestly, I think Tony's got something up his sleeve that he hasn't played his hand yet. So I'm really curious as to what that would be. Yeah, Paul think of Bourne cliffhangers, 007, things like that.
Those are
things, old Westerns. You want to reference what they've done, because that's where they're drawing inspiration from. I actually saw a I think I sent it to you, Tim, the side-by-side comparison of the 1961 samurai movie with the scene from Mandalorian. With Ahsoka, which was amazing. I don't know. Do you have a prediction of what you think it'll be?
I don't. I've been trying to figure out where we'll leave off, and it could involve Luthen to a certain degree. I mean, like, he's very much so hellbent on trying to clean up and make sure that he isn't like found out. He's protecting his own skin. He wants to make sure he's good. I mean, like, it could end with Luthen dying at the end. That could be our cliffhanger, is like, Luthen dies. Is it Cassian's hand? Does Cassian just be like, does he blame him for everything? He's like, this is all your fault for starting all this, and kills him. Like, I don't know. I'm not really sure. I mean, like, Luthen is such an important asset to the rebellion, but it's that part of the rebellion where it's like, it's all guerrilla, you know, like Saw is unhinged. Saw is very much so. He's that radical freedom fighter without anyone holding the leash. And that's the scary part. And Luthen is encouraging that behavior. And you always end up getting these types of like radicalistic freedom fighters when it comes to any type of war. I mean, you're always going to have these types of people. The scary part is like, We know how Saw continues on. So like, we know he gets even crazier than where he is right now. And so is Luthen the one with like that is holding the leash? And so when Luthen dies, is that when Saw just understands that he doesn't have anyone to tell him what to do, and he can just do his own thing? I don't know. I'm not really sure. I think there's definitely something there with Luthen and Saw and Cassian. I think those three is what's going to set us up for the next season. So I would assume there's going to be some type of confrontation or some type of just something that happens between the three of them that really sets us off into the next one.
Yeah. I think Luthen is safe for this season. I think next season will be his demise.
He's so cool. I would hate to lose him at the end of this one. I mean, like,
next season.
He does the coolest shit. You know, he's so neat. What a cool person.
Don't get attached to that ship. I love
the Fondor, dude. What a cool ship that thing is. What are they called? What's the classification? It starts with an H. The Hassian, the I don't know, it starts with something. Anyways, it's such a cool ship. I love what it does. And like the way the wings can like retract in, and like, so he pulled the wings in and then the lasers came out. It's just, it's cool. It was a spy car. You know, it was James Bond. It just, it felt right. It felt so good. I love it. Cause you we've also never seen anything like that before. It kind of reminded me of like a Sith interceptor, like what the Inquisitors use. Kind of had like that kind of vibe to it, but it's very, very unique.
Can't find the designation
Halcyon?
For it.
Is it a Halcyon? No, that's a Star Cruiser.
Yes, that is the Star Cruiser.
That's the Star Cruiser.
A bit of news, nothing too crazy, but some interesting stuff nonetheless. There's a 3-minute short with Grogu on Disney Plus, made by, and again, I'm not an anime person, so if I'm mispronouncing these things, I apologize ahead of time. Studio Ghibli, did I say that right, Tim?
Sounds right, yeah.
Okay, yeah, Studio Ghibli. And it's a 3-minute short. It's adorable. Watch it with your kids. It's really cute. It's basically Grogu playing with these, they're called Dust Bunnies, but they're apparently from Miyazaki's animated films, My Neighbor Totoro and Spirited Away, Susuwatari.
Okay. Yeah, you're doing okay.
So it's really, really cute. Your son is going to love it, Tim.
Yeah, Spirited Away is really good. So that's cool. I honestly thought this is a teaser. When I saw the announcement for this, I was like, oh, this is a teaser for next Vision season. I didn't realize that it was an actual. That's what I thought it was, because I was like, oh, this is in the same vein as everything else we saw for Visions, because they leaned really heavy on anime. So I just thought this was a teaser, but it seems to be its own independent thing that just kind of popped up. So I was
very,
so if anything,
cute.
I wonder if this is like showcasing like, hey, we're going to do more when Visions drops. So I don't know.
The response of Visions was huge, so they are going to delve deeper into that, which leads us to another piece of news. Filoni and Kathleen Kennedy met with the creators of The Ninth Jedi, which is one of the episodes from Visions. We've seen them expand Ronin. We have the novel. I have it right behind me, which is basically the first two chapters are what you see in the show, and then after that, it has its whole own story. And then they have a comic book now that's a precursor to what happens in the book and the show. So now it seems that The Ninth Jedi might get greenlit for an animated series,
which would be awesome.
You don't remember The Ninth Jedi, yeah, go ahead, Tim. Refresh their memories.
It's just it's a story about the Star Wars universe in a time where the Jedi have forgotten. It's 200 years after the Skywalker saga. And so the Jedi haven't been heard of in a long time. The Sith aren't a thing. The idea of lightsabers and like all of these arts and crafts are gone. Completely gone. And so you have these people that are trying to rebuild the old ways. And it's just like, man, this is the perfect way to tell a Star Wars story, because you have a clean slate, just like the High Republic, right? It's in a period that nobody knows anything about. We know it can exist. That time frame works, but it's so fresh. It's new. You can do whatever you want with it. And this is so far enough away, like lineage wise. If you go from just like generation to generation, we're dealing with how many, like what is that, like 10 generations almost, like since the Skywalker saga. So it's a long time for people to forget about all those things that happened, because apparently like things were wiped out. And so I would love to know more about this time period, because it seems so cool. And it had a very it was also the art style and the way that it was done, but it was just feudal Japan. It had this like very it had this like just really cool feel to it, where it's just like it made sense. It worked. I really liked it. So I'm really happy that they're expanding it, because out of all of the shows, Ronin was really good. But I think The Ninth Jedi, as far as just like it working in the world, in the Star Wars universe, in like the proper timeline, I think that works. I know you like Ronin a lot, but Ronin,
I love Ronin
so,
for different reasons.
It's so awesome. But I don't think that'll work as a Star Wars story in the canonical set.
I don't think Ninth Jedi would be canon either.
Why not?
I think it'll just be like a Vision series or something
But why?
Because I don't think they'll want to commit to that right now.
It's so far into the future, and if it's just an animated show, you don't have to hold true to anything. Literally nothing.
You could just slap the Visions, like a Vision series on there, the same way they did with Ronin.
You just
want to
call it a Star Wars story?
Yeah, look.
No, I know, because Ronin makes no sense. It has like zombies and it has samurai and it like...
Oh, you can't see that. It says a Visions novel. It says a Visions novel on it.
Right. And, but like, it's because the way that I would assume, because the way that it's set up, it does not fit in a Star Wars telling, because it's right, it's like right after the fall of the Empire. Like, we have zombie stormtroopers, you know, it's just like, but like the ninth Jedi, I think, because it's so far away, you can still put it in the proper timeline. That's just my take. I just love it. I thought it was just like the whole idea of trying to rebuild and relearn and bring forth the old ways and trying to do it in this new way is just so cool. It's just well done. So I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I think they'll just stick to like keeping the Visions in the Visions world, if that makes sense.
Hate it. I want Visions to be the playground, and they find out what works, and then they're like, aha, this one stuck, so we're gonna keep developing that one. And that's how I mean, like, essentially what they've done is just like, how far are they going to go with it? That's where my excitement is like, what are we going to get from Visions? Are we going to get real true stories that will develop into shows and comic and like all that stuff? Or is it just gonna be like these fun little, like, that was cute, here you go.
This almost like What If. I think that's the idea here.
But we got to see some stuff from What If in like movies. So that was, right. that was really cool.
They might do the same thing.
That's the only other two.
That I would want to see extended would be The Elder and La Pinocho. Those were the other two.
I really want to see the Bohemian Rhapsody on Tatooine. Bohemian Tatooine, whatever that one was. Loved
Tatooine
it.
Rhapsody.
I want to see more of that. Nothing but that.
Hated that episode. It's
such a terrible
much.
Episode. The one with the what was the OB?
OB was.
Where he was like a little robot. He was a little robot wanting to become a Jedi.
TOB1, Toby.
There you go. Toby. That was a cute one.
Yeah,
it was cute. I didn't say it was good. I said it was cute.
Speaking of things I didn't like, I finished Path of the Seed, and
yeah, I'm really glad I didn't read it. I'm really mad that I bought it.
Just like, wow, what a! I'm not. I don't want to be mean about it. I really don't.
No, speak your truth, Kevin.
It's boring. It's boring.
And that's good to know. People need to hear that it's boring and from your point of view. So tell, why was it boring?
It's boring. It there's nothing happens in the book, and people are going to come back, and people have already come back, like, oh, the end. I finished the end. It feels like a shoehorned lore for something that happens in the other books. And it just doesn't feel good. Here's my biggest gripe is, again, what I said 3 weeks ago. We had these stories. They were great. And we were figuring out, you know, all these new characters and stuff. And then they take us back in the past. And it was too soon. And now that I finished this book, it was too soon. It was too soon. They're trying to establish backstories of people I don't even have full context on in the current, well, not current, but that era of whatever this may be. So it's just really, really not good. The story did not flow. It never had an up, to be honest. The end, yeah, I understand the person on Twitter that said like, oh, the end was pretty good. It felt shoehorned. It felt like, here's the backstory of this thing that you must know to move forward. And it's like, I didn't really need to know this because this existed. I'm trying to do this spoiler free as best I can. So it was a snooze fest, and I couldn't wait for it to be over. Thank God it was only an 8-hour book. So I'm not looking forward to the next book of phase two. I have a feeling phase two is going to be very contrived. And this almost forced backstory that we didn't need yet. And that'll make me angry until we get to phase three.
That's what it is. That right there. We did not need this yet. I don't understand the disjointed, like, going back and forth. Like, we had a really, really good story with like that with phase one, and the end of the last book was such a huge cliffhanger. I know we talked about this last week, so I feel I'm probably sound like a broken record, but I don't understand why we couldn't have just continued that story. Why do we need more backfill on a time that isn't developed yet? It hasn't been flushed out completely. And like, this is a good time. Like, where we find ourselves with Starlight Beacon and where the Jedi Order and stuff, this is their peak. This is the highest point that we will ever see the Jedi at in this golden age. And they decided to push us even farther back into like this, like, what are we going to get to the Renaissance of the galaxy? Like, I don't know. Like, how far back are we going to go? Is it going to be, are we going to get to analog stuff and it's going to be our present time? Like, I don't know. It's just like, it's kind of frustrating that we're we're going so far. That doesn't work because it's a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But are we going to get back to like modern stuff where we feel like we're like, oh, I connect with that. It's like stuff that I use all the time. I don't know. I don't see the point.
I don't see the point of going in the past in the High Republic. I would have been fine with continuing the story of the High Republic where we were. Markian was interesting. The Jedi that we were meeting were interesting. You said it last week. You know, they're just interesting characters. People are cosplaying as them. They have interesting weapons, lightsabers, force powers, recognition of the force, the way they perceive it. All interesting. And then we just kind of wipe that away and go jump into the backstory of the villain, essentially. It's Markian's backstory at the end of the day, even though he's not in it yet.
So why don't we just finish Markian's story? Like, that's the whole thing. It's like, why did we need a backfill? And are they trying to rush the connection between the Old Republic and the High Republic? Like, that's the other weird thing, is it's just like, it just feels so rushed. Like, we had to get there. And it's like, did we? Like, you had all of this stuff that you've already laid out. Why do we need to go backwards?
Yeah, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't make sense. It feels very forced. This might be, I don't know whose decision this was, but it feels like a big flub in my opinion. I guess
if they would have said why they wanted to go this route, maybe that would help ease our minds, but they didn't even give us a reason as to why we needed to go back even further.
There could be a bigger picture. And when I read all four, you know, primary books for the phase two, it could reveal more, and it could just be a bad, you know, version of what's to come, could flesh it all out and make it better. But as it stands right now, in my opinion, after finishing Path of Deceit, the direction of phase two was a mistake, in my opinion. And the fact that these resources were allocated to this story, and again, I didn't get High Republic or Old Republic stuff, makes me upset. So that's my opinion. I know people disagree with me. I've seen it. It's completely fine. That's my opinion, and I'm pretty amicable. Like, even if I don't like a Star Wars story, I can find the parts of it that made sense for why they made it. This I have yet to. Too soon is still my opinion. We didn't need this information yet.
Yeah.
And the plot twist, Tim, wasn't even like, oh my gosh. It was like, all right. So
did you see it coming?
Kind of.
Yeah, that sucks.
Like, it was a possibility. That's the best way I can put it.
Sounds like one of the bad. This sounds like probably the only bad piece of Star Wars literature that I think we've talked about. Other than the teen books are pretty rough. But I think overall,
in these main High Republic books, this is by far the worst.
Compared to other Star Wars books, how do you feel? Other ones that you've read?
Still, it's one of the worst.
Bummer.
Yeah, definitely one of the worst.
Well, I mean, I don't want to be like. I don't want to be like, phase two is fucked, but I mean,
no, I'll see it through.
I really hope they kind of bring us back with the next one. Cause I don't want to read this one. Like, I'm just going to go off of what you said. I'm just going to ask you questions.
Yeah. Do that. And there are videos where people will break it down for you in like an hour on YouTube.
Yeah, maybe I'll just do that. But I tell you, I literally listened to it for the first 10 minutes. And I'm like, I'm good. I turned it off. I just didn't want to
detailed information in this book is virtually useless. There is nothing that like, I would say, it wasn't like in Shadows of the Sith where I was like, Tim, you have to get to the part where they go through the past with the Sith. And I was like, it's so insignificant in the grand scheme of things, but it was just a cool way to show the past of Star Wars and who this person was and Luke experiencing it firsthand that I was upset. There's nothing like that in this book. Nothing. I could tell you the end of the book when we hit end on this and you'd be like, oh, whoop de fucking do. Like, it's just whatever at this point. So pretty disappointed in Path of Deceit, but willing to see phase two all the way through to see if it makes a bigger connection to the broader story on that one. Last bit of news before Tim and I get out of here. Unprecedented, but next week for Thanksgiving, which plays into what I've been saying, Tim, people are off and they want them to experience it.
Uh-huh.
So Andor's viewer ratings are very high, very high. People that are watching it are loving it, but not everybody's watching it. And we've gone over why and how and who. And apparently Disney execs listen to our show because they decided to make a decision based on what we were saying. Not really. I mean, I don't know. They might, for all I know. So according to this press release, Disney is going to have the first two episodes of Andor airing on live television on ABC, FX, and Freeform.
Holy crap.
This is nuts.
Whoa.
We are going backwards now.
I forget how many properties they own now because they own Fox. That means they own FX and FX2 and like all of those FX.
Freeform used to be ABC Family.
ABC Family, which ABC has always been Disney. So ABC Family got turned into Freeform, which is going to be like the more edgier teen, like for teens. What else do they have? And then they have
ESPN.
What
other?
ESPN as well. Nuts. And Hulu and Disney Plus. Crazy.
Hulu will be streaming. You'll be able to stream the first two episodes of Andor on Hulu, and then they're going to try and push you to Disney Plus to watch the rest of it. So the season finale is next Wednesday, and then I believe for Thanksgiving Day, the stuff will be on and available. I think that's the plan, if I'm not mistaken. But this is just it's a crazy move. I think it's a great move personally. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'm praising it. I think it's good to get people interested like this. Shows a bunch of things. One, even though they're confident in what Andor is as a show, because they know if you watch it, you'll want to watch more. And then two, the viewer numbers for Andor are down. That's we've known that for weeks. Three, it's a shameless move by Bob's team to try and get people to subscribe to Disney Plus. And there's nothing wrong with that. This is a great marketing tactic. I feel like giving people some content. HBO did it with House of the Dragon. You were able to watch the first episode of House of the Dragon completely free. You didn't need an HBO Max subscription. And they did that the week Rings of Power came out. So it's That's a good move.
Smart.
It's very smart. I give credit where credit is due. I don't think it's saying Andor is bad. I actually think they're saying Andor is really good, and that's why we want you to watch it. Which I have no problem with, but I think it feeds into what I said. People are home for Thanksgiving. They'll plow through Andor. They'll do it again during Christmas. They'll plow through it and they'll get Disney Plus subscribers out of it. So, it's an interesting move, but it makes a lot of sense. And I hope they do it more often in the future. It also shows me how many people are still watching network television.
Yeah, I thought there was a massive exodus from that, but you're right. Like they do need to figure out how to acquire new users, and maybe this is the aggressive way they go about doing it. Because they put it everywhere else. I mean, literally, you can't go anywhere without hearing or seeing a Disney Plus ad, it feels like. I mean, like it's all over Disney, like it's all over Orlando. It's on TV all the time. Cause I mean, like Disney has their fingers in a lot of the major the major networks. So it's impressive. It'll be very interesting to see like Star Wars all over the place. Like that's going to be cool.
Yep. Well, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for listening to episode 107 of Star Wars and Scotch. Make sure you rate, review, subscribe. If you're a podcast person, leave comments. If you're a YouTube person, any interaction with the show helps us. So if you subscribe, thank you so much. We appreciate it. And you can follow us for Star Wars and Scotch on Facebook, Star Wars Scotch on Twitter. You should follow Tim Darkness429. He's getting down with some Warzone this week, dropping today. So by the time you hear this, Tim will be live. So you can go straight to fb.gg/darkness429 and go over there and watch Tim go pew pew in Warzone on the new map. And everything I do is at raredrop.co. If you want to talk to me personally, KMagic101 on Instagram, KevinXVision on Twitter. But we will see you next week for the finale of Andor. You all have a good one. Timmy?
May the Force be with you.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today.
Save big on Gelled One windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.